This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
How do we live in a world that is filled with temptation and yet remain faithful to God's holy word? We're going to talk about that in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord Jesus, as we find ourselves well into the beginning of this year, we are fully aware that you came to this world to be our Savior, that you are willing to forgive us our sins if we will but confess them and trust you. And yet, Lord, there is much in your word that tells us that we are to grow up spiritually speaking and to be able to handle the temptations which come our way. God in heaven, help us today to understand the power that you can give us when we are confronted with temptation. Help us to know where to go when we are tempted. Help us to understand that the only one who can really give us that peace is the Lord Jesus himself. It is in his name that we pray. Amen. Hear God's word as it is recorded in the fourth chapter of the book of Hebrews, beginning with verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Here ends the reading of God's holy word.
Jesus said,
Friends in Christ. Imagine that you are having a conversation with a very good friend who is hurting. She has lost a daughter in an automobile accident. You know you have to go to see her, and you're a bit nervous, wondering what you will say after you have expressed your sympathy. But to your surprise, you learn that the hurting person will do the talking. And if you have good sense, you'll just let her do it, because that's what is needed in her case. But if you must talk, above all, don't begin to make comparisons. Something like this: "Oh, my dear, I feel so bad for you, but I understand. My sister lost a child about a year ago. And she was such a brilliant child. She was at the top of her class. She was an excellent violinist. She was a good athlete, too. And what a future she had." And so you'd go on and on and on and talk about your sister's daughter who died. You know, let me tell you something, if you don't already understand it. While your friend who you're trying to comfort is a very fine person, a loving individual and concerned about all people, at this particular time, she could care less about the tragedy that came to your sister's house. She's got enough on her own plate. She doesn't need to hear more. Be careful. Temptation comes, and you go with God's word to help her. Here's another one that many of us perhaps will never learn. When you go into that room where someone is really suffering, a very unwise statement is made when we say, "I understand how you feel." A statement like that has a good motive. You're trying to help the individual. You're trying to let her know that you're emotionally involved with her. But it is a very unwise statement. In most cases, it is not a truthful statement, because we do not understand what she is experiencing at that particular time. There's a bit of humor in this one. But I thought after this particular situation, I would never say that again, and yet I've heard myself, "Oh, I understand." What terrible words that are at that particular time. I was standing ministering to a lady from our congregation many years ago, and she was a very, very sick lady. Finally, I said to her stupidly, after I had read and prayed, "I understand." And she looked up at me and she said, "No, you don't. Nor will you ever. For I have just had a hysterectomy, and you can't have one of those." And then she giggled a little bit. I didn't giggle. I felt so ashamed. I felt so foolish. Be careful that you don't use comparisons when you're trying to comfort somebody. And be careful that you do not say, "Oh, I understand exactly how you feel." For neither you nor I do. Well, you could ask the question, well, what are we supposed to say when we come? I have found that the best is to really listen. Because Satan is very busy at that time. Satan is really tempting us and asking, "Where is your God?" But before I leave, I'd read a passage like this. It's found in the 4th chapter of Hebrews, verses 15 and 16. It's one that you want to remember. Keep at your fingertips if you're going to help people who are really facing temptations, regardless of what kind of temptation they may be. Better yet, to commit it to memory. Here it is. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we have been. yet he is without sinning. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us just when we need it. Now, what is God's word saying here when you face temptation or when you go to comfort somebody else who is facing temptation? The only one who can say, "I know how you feel," is none other than Jesus Christ himself. And to try to put ourselves in his place is completely stupid. We can't do it. He alone can understand. For he alone has been tempted in the most vivid ways that are explainable to the human being. They have found, for example, these temptations of Jesus throughout the whole New Testament. He is forever being tempted by Satan. But let's go to that section of God's Word in the fourth chapter of St. Matthew, where there are three specific temptations, and rather lightly, let's take a look at them. Jesus has been out in the wilderness, led out there, and for 40 days he had not eaten. He was hungry. Now Satan comes along and says, "If you are the Son of God, and you know that your Father loves you, then tell these stones to become bread, and you can then eat." God does not want you to go hungry, Jesus, and he will provide for you if he is the Almighty. Now call on him and just say, "Stone, become bread." How would you compare that to the lady who had lost a child? Maybe before the daughter died, she lay in a hospital bed between life and death on life support. And the lady would have said, "I'm going to put you to the test." And Satan might have been right there to help her. God, if you are all that you say you are, if you are all that they have preached that you are, then lay your hand of healing on my daughter. That's kind of in the same category. And then your daughter dies. And you begin to say, "Where are you, God? I'm beginning to lose faith in religion," whatever that means. Does it pay for us to go to church? Oh, what superficial ways to answer. Jesus answers Satan this way when he is tempted. Look at here, Satan. "Man does not live by bread alone. My grace is sufficient for you," the Lord has said. And as that mother stands there by that bedside, and it's difficult, or we stand beside one temptation after another, and it's hard to resist, we have a Savior who says, this is what he wants you to know today, friend. That's why it must be spelled out. God wants you to know that in your hour of temptation, his grace is sufficient for you. That's the answer. He will give you the strength. When you fall, he'll forgive you, and then he'll lift you up. Go to the second temptation. He takes Jesus up into a high hill, and he shows him the kingdom of the world. And he says, "Look, Jesus, if you will bow down and worship me, it's all yours." How do you compare that with living in 2006? If you will stop being so tied to that word and that Christian faith that you talk about, and use some liberties and move with the flow, you're going to be a very successful person. And success spells itself in money. And money can buy you practically anything you want. Now, why do you want to live as a pauper? That's going on every day, isn't it? and the thinking of many, many people? When you can have all of these luxuries and all of these good things in life, why do you settle for less? And it might be that you have to be a little bit flexible in what you believe. You may not be too straightforward with your witness, but it will pay off. Notice what Jesus tells you to do. When that temptation comes, he's got the word. Look, my friend, he says, and he wants you to hear it. He wants you to know it. Don't worship Satan. You'll get nowhere. All you do is worship the Lord God and him only. Put yourself in his hands. He will lead and guide you. For success does not mean that you necessarily live in three or four different places according to the seasons of the year, and that you have yachts and everything else wherever you go. Success means that there is a peace in your heart, for when the temptation comes, God will give you the strength. Turn to temptation number three. He took him to the high point in the temple, and now he wanted Jesus to cast himself down. But he would make an announcement. I'm going to show you how strong my Father is, and I'm going to really show you that I am the promised Messiah. And then you cast yourself out, and the angels will just lift you up. In other words, live recklessly. Test God to see just how much he cares for you. And if he is really your friend, nothing is going to happen to you. Oh, how often is that not true? It is so common for Satan to say, well, if God is all that he says, you can do the miraculous. And if you can't do the miraculous, God must be not telling you the truth. But take this word from the Lord Jesus. He wants you to hear it. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. Now, these are three temptations. Does Jesus know what temptation is all about? You can be sure he does. Others have been tempted. Adam, for example, was tempted. Eve was tempted. And when they sat there in the garden and Satan came by and said, do you have any laws that you have to abide by? Only one. We shall not eat of the tree of knowledge. For the day that we eat of it, we shall surely die. And Satan turned around and said, you know why God gave you that? He doesn't want you to be as wise or as strong as he is. And so he is protecting himself. And you know the rest of the story. Both Adam and Eve ate of the apple. And sin came into this world and they fell to temptation and they were out of relationship with God, and that's where people are today, outside of Jesus Christ. We are outside of a relationship with God. That's what God's word is telling you. And let the humanists and the rationalists and all the rest of them say, we are basically very good people and we don't very often yield to temptation. That is a lie, my friend. Whether it comes from the brightest in the university campuses or the smoothest politician who sits in Washington or any other place, we are sinful people in need of grace and strength. Jesus Christ walked through this world. He was the one who never yielded to a sin. And because he was sinless, when he went to the cross, he paid the price for your sins and mine. So that when we do yield to temptation, he is the one who is there to forgive us, to lift us up, to restore us back into that personal relationship with God. And then he is the one who is able to say, I will give you strength all the way. What does this biblical truth do for us? Well, it tells us that we've got a God who understands who we are. He understands us better than we understand ourselves. It tells us that we can be confident. We can live in this world and know that He walks with us. We can know that He is our Heavenly Father and we are His children. We can take a promise like Paul gives to us in the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians, where God is saying, and God wants us to hear this, that no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. You're not the only one who's tempted. Everyone is tempted. But God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Isn't that a promise? And then he goes on to say, but when you are tempted, He will provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. That's what it is to live in a personal relationship with God. That is the depth of the Christian faith. This is not some of this entertaining Christianity that everything's going to be all right. Make you feel good. No, this is looking this squarely in the face and saying, I know that I have a God who will walk with me. The temptations are overwhelming, but with God's strength and grace, we can overcome. That is what God wants us to know today. This is His word for ourselves. And this is how we bring comfort to others who are hurting. So you can take your friend in the hospital room and say, I don't understand, but God does. Come and cast your cares on Him. Let's pray. That's a verse that you can share with your loved one. When they're going to Iraq, when they're leaving home for work or college, this is a conversation you can have with your son and daughter on their wedding night. God understands. Amen. Father, we pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We know, O God, that we cannot go very far before old Satan has taken us out into his wilderness, tempting us in one way or another. And there we stand so helpless until we stand in a personal relationship with you, Jesus. And then we come to those words that you want us to know that have been penned under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that you understand, and you will give us that peace just when we need it. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We praise God for His provision and thank our faithful listeners for your gifts and prayers necessary to make this ministry a reality. Your gifts allow us to buy radio time throughout the country and internet access around the world to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. Reverend Larson writes the feature article for each edition. The upcoming issue is centered on the theme of discipleship. If you would like to receive this mailing, please call our office at 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's service are available free of charge. Our mailing address is Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH or 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, Pastor Emeritus of Nazareth Lutheran Church, Cedar Falls, Iowa, and radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 70th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.